morning. All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to continue our study of Genesis. And I'll be coming out of chapter 31 this morning. So, got your Bibles or your electronics, go ahead and turn to 31. Before we get started, we're going to go ahead and go to God with a moment of prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for watching over us as we slept last night. You woke us up this morning, Father, in our right mind. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we also want to put out a prayer for those, Father, who have lost utilities and water and just a lot of different things from this past week. The storm came through and it pretty much put a lot of people in hardship. Father, the news here was talking about people here in Texas were burning their furniture because they had no heat. So I pray for those families, Father, that they are getting back on their feet and that, Father, they can recover. And Father, I pray for the word this morning, Father, that as it's expressed from me when it comes to you, Father, that everything that I say is encouraging and inspiring. We love you. In your son Jesus' name we pray all things. Amen. So we're going to talk about chapter 31. So if we look back in 30, it describes the expansion of Jacob's family. You know, he had the two wives and the children and all the strife that was going on. But in 31, it's a little bit more about God coming to him and letting him know it's time for him to go back home. And we're going to look at some of the issues and concerns and some of the controversies that Jacob had to go through in order to make this happen. First, though, we'll look at, you know, he's got to deal with his brother Esau, who he left because of the deceitfulness that was going on in the early chapters. So 31, though, we're going to kind of get into his dealing with Laban. And y'all know how Laban was. Laban basically worked him and lied to him and then worked him some more. But while he was there, though, he was blessed by God so much that his wealth grew and Laban's didn't as well as his did. So we'll go ahead out and start off in chapter 31, verse 1. It says, Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your father and to your relatives, and I will be with you. We're going to start right there. We'll discuss a little bit of that. You know, here it is that all this time that he was working, which, you know, for Laban, he took care of the flock. He didn't really steal anything from him. It's just that the blessings from God gave Laban his what he had asked for, but mainly Jacob was being blessed by God. And what he did is he was able to give him more, I guess, sheep and the other ones and lamb than what Laban was giving. So with this, you know, if you look at the sons, you see a little bit of envy coming in there. And envy is a dangerous thing. Sometimes we had to deal with it with ourselves. But envy is a sin that will, in many ways, put you in a bad situation. A lot of times we don't think it's, you know, we can envy somebody at work, or you may say, it's like, you know what, why is that person receiving more than I am? And I am a God. I mean, I feel myself as a godly person, and they're a worldly person. You know, sometimes, you know, we get challenged with that. You see someone is prospering, but you're not. And this was what was going on with the sons. They saw their father, you know, pretty much staying the same in his wealth, but Jacob was growing. And you know, they made agreements on this, but it wasn't that he was stealing from it. It was just that he was being blessed by God. And the blessings were increasing his flock. And increasing his family. I mean, man, dog, the man had children coming out of everywhere back in 30. I mean, he was being blessed with children, blessed with wealth, and when it comes to his crops and everything else. So he really wasn't stealing from him. But the envy has sneaked in with the son, because no one seems to like to see when somebody's doing better than them. But that's not the godly way. That is the worldly way. We have to be careful of that. You know, It says over in 1 Corinthians, it says, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like the mere humans? And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. God warns us, be careful of being worldly. Be careful of the envy that you get from, you know, that's a worldly feature. It's not a godly feature. And we see that at the beginning here. And this starts the whole problem of, it really wasn't, I think the problem started a long time ago with Laban and his deceitfulness. But it's now Jacob is starting to see it. And it's starting to fester in the brothers and his workings with Laban. And so he now realizes that God comes to him and says, you know what? You've done this long enough. It's time for you to go home. And God is telling him to go home. He's telling him to go back to his land, to where his father, where he wants him to be. You know, we're going down to verse 4 here. It says, we'll continue reading. It says, so Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out of the fields where their flocks were. He said to them, I see that your father's attitude toward me is not what it used to be, was before. But the God of my father has been with me. I want you to remember that, the God of my father. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that down in the, later in the scripture. But just put a little note tag in here. God of my father has been with me. You know that I have worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. Man, that's tough, bro. That's kind of like going to work and, you know, one day you get paid $5 an hour, the next day you go to work, you get $2 an hour. You don't know what your wages are going to be, but he changed them 10 times. See, Laban was about wealth. He was a worldly man. You know, he was about, what can I collect? What can I get from Jacob? What kind of work can I get out of this guy? I got him, I guess it's all adults, okay? I kind of got him by the kahunas. You know, he wanted one of my daughters. He ended up with two of my daughters. But however, I got some work out of this man. And then I turned around and worked him some more just so he could end up taking care of all of my sheep and all of my flock. So here's a man that is more worldly than he is godly. So this is what Jacob is dealing with. And he said, it goes on and says, you know that I worked for your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me with all his weight. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. Put a little notation there too. However, God has not allowed him to harm me. Now, he may have worked him, he may have did some things, but he never harmed me. In Romans 8:31, it says that, what shall we say in response to these things? That if God is for us, who can be against us? See, he didn't harm him just because he liked him. He didn't harm him because God was for him. When God is for us, guys, they, you know, people can mistreat us. People can call us names. People can do all kind of things to us. But if God is with you, it doesn't matter. You're strong. You're protected and you're okay. It may not seem like it sometimes because, well, you know what I'm saying? When you're in a storm, it's kind of hard, it's rough. But at the end of the day, when you're with God, you are protected. Now, when you step away from God, then you're unprotected. So you always got to remember to stay in the faith. You got to stay strong in the Word. And this was Jacob. No matter what he was going through, God was still blessing him. Now, he did some things, you know, and we all know from the previous chapter some of the things he did to his brother, having to flee, having to deal with these wives and everything else, all the things he's gone through. But God still was blessing him. He still wanted to take care of him. He didn't let any harm come to him. We go down on verse 8. It says, if he had said, the speckled ones will be your wages, then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said, the streaked ones will be your wages, then all the flocks before streaked young. Streak with y'all. So God has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. In the breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock were streaked and speckled or spotted. The angels of God said to me, in the dream, Jacob, I answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see what all the male goats mating with the flock are, streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all of what Laban has been doing to you. I am God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah replied, do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? Does not he regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Surely all the wealth that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So do whatever your God has told you. And we know, Rachel and Leah, you know, they had some problems in the past, you know, and here it is. For once, they've actually come together. They have actually now in agreement with what they have seen and what's going on with their father. They understand what Jacob is doing. And they say here, surely the wealth of that God took away from our father belongs to us and our children. So they look like now that they have been misused as well by their own father. And they tell him, Jacob, we are now ready to follow you. Out of all the stuff they went through in chapter 29, 30, coming up with the fighting, the infighting, we see now that God now has put them in a place where they can follow their husband and be about God. You know, it sometimes, you know, we go through a little turmoil in our lives. And we think it's hard, it's tough. But at the end of the day, God can bless it. He can make something that's so turmoil and make it clean and clear again. And here they are coming together to follow him. Jacob know he must leave. But one thing about Jacob is that fascinates me. With all the power, like remember I said to you earlier, God has not allowed him to harm me, but God of my father has been with me. Now, here it is, Jacob know that God is with him, but yet he is still a fearful man. He is fearful that Laban's going to do something to him if he decides to leave. And to me, I think sometimes fear has a way of making us do things the wrong way. And, even after the 20 years or so on that he worked with him and so on, he's still trying to figure out, instead of just being like, you know what, I got God on my side. God is with me. What do I need to fear? But yet he still has a fear of Laban. And so what he does is, we go on down, he says in verse 17, so then Jacob put the children and his wives on camels, and he drove out the livestock ahead of him along with the goods he had accumulated in Padam Aram. He goes to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to shear his sheep, Rachel had stole her father's household goods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Armenian, by not telling him that he was running away. So he fled with all his what he had, crossed the Euphrates River, and headed for the hills of Gilead. Now here it is again. Now he said it, God has already came to him and told him to go home. But yet he is so fearful, Laban, he sneaks out. It takes everything, and then he sneaks away because he has a fear of a man. And I think sometimes we can be like that. We don't put enough faith in God that we let man put us in such fear that we can't do God's work. We can't be about God because we're too busy afraid of what someone may say or what somebody do, how they look at us. And, you know, here that Jacob is doing the same exact thing. Because of his fear, he sneaks out. And instead of saying, you know what, if God has told me, if God didn't tell him to sneak out at night, he didn't tell him to collect all his things and not tell the Laban where he was going. He told him, say, hey, it's time for you to leave. Get your stuff and go. But instead of saying, you know what, come and say, Laban, it's time for me to go. Because God has told me so. Because of his fear, he sneaks off in the middle of the night. This does not do him well because, of course, Laban now comes after him looking at him. Number one is Rachel has stole his father's household gods. So again, I tell you about Laban, that's kind of a worldly thing because he has household gods. But Jacob has a God, the real God. And you know what? Instead of him relying on the real God, for some reason, you know, here it is, his wife is stealing gods that are not of our God. And that's kind of ironic, but that's, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But here it is that he has God on his side, yet he does things the wrong way. We go down to verse 22. It said, on the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled. Talking to his relatives with him, he pursued Jacob for 7 days, caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. I'm going to start right there. So here it is. You know, hey, God is even talking to your enemies. You know what I mean? That just shows you how powerful our God is. So we don't need to live in fear. We need to live with boldness. Because here it is, you know, he said, well, you know what? It's just, you sneak away at night. I know this man is coming after you. I'm going to go ahead and give you some more grace. I'm going to go ahead and help you out a little bit, Jacob. I'm going to tell him he can't even, look, he's not even allowed to approach you in any kind of way to harm you. And now Jacob doesn't know this, but, you know, of course, he's still afraid. So Jacob had pitched a tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him. And Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You deceived me, and you have carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me? So I could send away with joy and singing to the music of trembles and harps. You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren or my granddaughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father said to you, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Now you have gone off because for you long to return to your father's household. But why did you steal my God? Now, as we see earlier, Rachel stole the gods out of his household. The main thing that he really wanted was his gods. But no one knew who had stolen these. And we're going to talk about it a little further on now. But the thing for this part that fascinates me, that Laban wasn't going to harm him in the first place. God already had him. You know, if he truly believed in God and knew him as his father, God had already put him in a place where Laban couldn't touch him anyway. And I think God does that to us as well. We just got to believe that God has our back. Sometimes we think that we are too, you know, sinful, or we got too many things going on. But we don't. God can take care of all our needs. We just got to make sure we understand where it's coming from. I mean, sometimes we get this fear of, well, I'm not good enough, or I haven't done all the things I need to do. And God is sitting back up saying, calm down. I got your back. You just got to believe in me and have faith in me. I'll take care of all your needs. So here we go. He's now caught up with him, and now he's got a chance to say, you know what? Really, the only thing I'm worried about is my gods. And so Jacob asked Laban, he said, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find anyone who has your God, that person shall not live in the presence of your relatives. See yourself whether there is anything of yours here in me so that I can take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the gods. So he is already, you know, he's gotten a little bold now. He said, you know what? Yeah, I was afraid of you, but you know what? At the end of the day, I never took anything from you. I didn't take your gods. So guess what? You have the right to go ahead and look through my stuff, try to figure out what's going on, not realizing that whoever he has taken, he has told him, you know what, you can kill him. Right here in front of your relatives. But he did not realize that Rachel is the one who stole the gods. And you know, at the end of the day, we're going to go into the next part here. Rachel got the gods. We're going to see what happens that when Laban starts to look for the God. So Laban went to Jacob He started searching. He gets to Leah's tent, to the tent, two male servants, but he found nothing. After he came out of Leah's tent, he entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them inside her camel's saddle and was sitting on them. Laban searched through everything in the tent, but found nothing. Rachel said to her father, "Don't be angry, my lord, that I cannot stand up in the presence. I'm having my period." I said, "Okay." So he searched, but he could not find the household good. Jacob was angry. He looked Laban to task. "What is my crime?" he asked Laban. "Have I wronged you that you hunt me down? Now that you have searched through all my goods, what have you found that belongs to you or your household? Put it in here in front of the relatives of mine and mine, and let them judge between the two of us. I have been with you for 20 years now. Your sheep and your goats have not miscarried, nor have I eaten from you rams from your flock. I did not bring your animals torn by wild beasts. I bore the loss myself. And you demand payment from me whenever was stolen by day or night. This was my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and in cold at night. And sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years. I was in your household. I worked for 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks. And you changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would surely have sent me away empty-handed. But God has seen my hardship and toil of my hands. And last night he rebuked you." Here, Jacob got a little bold there, didn't he? He said, "You know what? Hey, I got your father Abraham on my side. Look, this is the way it is. I didn't steal from you. I never took anything from you. I just did what was right by you. So what is my crime?" He finally got to the point where he got a little bit of he's kind of stood up for himself, and he stood up for God because he knew God, you know, he even said God rebuked you. And so Laban understands this, and he realizes that, you know what, he's got nothing to stand on because Jacob has done everything that he asked for him and more. And the fact that, you know, they did steal the gods. Now, it's kind of ironic that, I guess, you know, there's some history about women on their cycles in that time period. I did a little looking into that. Evidently, men were not allowed, women were to be away from men during that time period. It was considered unclean. A woman was considered unclean during that time. So that's why Laban did not search her, because when she said she was on her period, he stepped away from it. It's like, oh, you're unclean. And at that time period, that is why he never found the God that she had stolen. But this again, though, we still see some deceitfulness and some sneakiness in Rachel. Rachel was something else. And as we see it here, even though they had everything going for them, they had all the wealth, they had all the things they needed, she still thought it was okay to steal from her father. That is don't talk too much about Rachel Lake, but that is a problem that seems that Jacob is going to have to deal with. And because of that sin, keeps things away from him moving forward. Now, we're going into verse 43 here. It said, Laban asked Jacob, "The woman of my daughters, the children of my children, and the flocks of my flock, all you see is mine, and yet what can I do today about these daughters of mine and about the children that they have bore? Come now, let's make a covenant, you and I will serve witness between us." So Jacob took the stone, set it on a pillar. He said to his relatives, "Gather some stones." So that they took the stones, piled them in a heap, and then they were by the heap. Laban called it Jigger, Satahata, something, I don't remember that one. And Jacob called it Gilead. So Laban said, "This heap of witness between us, me today, this is why it is called Gilead. It is also called Mizpah, because he said, my God, may the Lord keep watch between you and me when you are away from each other. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you take away any wives besides my daughters, even though no one is with us, remember that God is witness between us. So he makes an agreement with him, and they decide to break this pillar. Because Laban understands that, you know what? His God has already came to him and told him what he can't do. So now he's got a little fear in him, and he decides, you know what? So that, you know, one day when you become so strong, will you come back and harm me? That was the covenant agreement. That's what it was all about. He was thinking about his future. He knew that Jacob was going to be blessed by God, and then one day Jacob would be strong enough to come back and put vengeance on him. So, see, Laban was smart enough to realize, hey, you know what? Man, this guy's got it going on. He realized how strong God was toward Jacob. Seemed like Jacob wasn't strong enough to realize how God was for him. Seemed like he was on the opposite way, living in fear, and Laban going, you know what? I fear your God more than I fear you, because your God is going to bless you, as he's seen him do for the 20 years that he stayed with. He saw the blessing. He saw what God could do. But it took a little while for Jacob to realize how strong his God was. And then it says they offered sacrifice at the hill and country, invited the relatives to a meal. After eating, they spent the night there. Early the next morning, Laban kissed the grandchildren and his daughter and blessed them. Then they left and returned home. And if you look at this whole chapter here, you look at, first of all, you've been called by God to go home. Secondly, you've been protected by God. And thirdly, you end up signing an agreement with someone, Laban, who you've had, basically worked for 20 years and starting to have strife. Because again, remember that at the beginning of this, he talked about the sons. Sometimes it's not the father you got to worry about, it's the children. See, one day Laban's gone. That's why Laban decided, you know what? This covenant needs to be signed. Because one day his children would be the great name. And this is wild too. They're family. You know, when you come to the children, a blood family, but he realized that covenant will keep Jacob from never coming back and retaliating against, which one day may be his sons, and also to keep his sons from also retaliating to Jacob. So that covenant was important for them. That was an agreement that they needed to sign. You know, but I look at this and I think about Jacob in this whole story. Jacob lived so much out of fear. And I think that's not the way we need to live with God. Fear has its moments, but fearing people and fearing things is not the way God wants us to be. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we turn there, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Fear will lead us away from doing God's will. Instead of into God's will, sadly, many of us are ruled by fear instead of God's peace. We are worried about the economy. Maybe we're worried about our spouses. Maybe we're worried about all these different things. But in Colossians 3, it says that fear is what leads us away from doing God's will, not toward doing God's will. Even with Jacob here, I think fear kept him away from really seeing how strong God was for him. There was more blessing I felt that he could have received, but because of his fear, he couldn't see it. And I think if we go along this, we challenge ourselves in life that whatever we're doing in God's work, it can't be dead out of fear. It must be dead out of the fact that God has our back. You know, I'm going to go ahead and close out here. You know, God has a promise for all of us, and Jacob eventually got to see this. Of course, you know, these are men of the Bible that go along, but it also tells us the fact that, you know, without fear, you know, we must be strong in God's word. We must live by God's word. But also, we got to live in a way that we are always trusting in God. Instead of saying, you know, if we trust in him and believe in what the scripture tells us, we won't be like Jacob. We won't be sneaking away in the dark. Whatever we do will be in the light. God has promises for us. And one is that if you live by faith and not by fear, you will see more glory from what God can do in your life. It's just like if you're going out sharing your faith, or you need to talk to someone. It's like, you know, Chris said earlier, you know, he walked up to the guy lifting weights. He said, "Hey, you want to study the Bible?" You know what? He could have said, "You know what? I don't know. That guy over there, he's pretty big over there. I don't know if I want to talk." He could have lived in fear and not said a word. But you know what? Boldness will get you more than fear will. I think God wants us to step outside of ourselves and say, "You know what? Trust in me. Believe in me. Don't be like, don't fear the people in your life. Don't worry about whether, you know, you got a job or you got this situation. Remember this, God will take care of all those needs." And sometimes I think because of fear, that's why we don't truly get the true blessing that God has to offer us. That's why sometimes our blessings are held and waited for a long time, is because we're living too much in fear of what others can do or what others have. Remember, the world has no control over godly people. Only thing the world has control over is the fear of godly people. And we let that fear sometimes take us away from being close to God. I think, you know, Jacob, with all the situation with him and his, you know, his whole family, he's kind of been going through this, even with the fear of leaving his brother Esau. You know, Esau's going to kill him. Now, understand this. Jacob's got a long way to go. He's got to go back and deal with his brother. Again, what is he going to do? He's still going to live in a little bit of fear, because he's fearful that his brother's going to kill him. And that's going to be going up in the next chapter. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he's got to go deal with some more stuff in his life. But yet he has still not learned to overcome his fear. His fear keeps him away from seeing what I think God's glory is. But at the end of the day, he blessed him still, even though he was a fearful man. He seemed to be always afraid of what's going to happen. And I think when I read this chapter, I think I don't want to be like Jacob. I want to be a man that's not of fear, but a man of righteousness, and a man who thinks that God has my back at all times. So thank you guys for letting me share about Jacob in chapter 31. Hope this helped you guys out for the next day and so when you're going through your life, that you don't live in fear, but you live by God's word. God be glory. Thank you.